Welcome, everybody, at another episode of the Wrestling vs. the World podcast. If you're enjoying your day, sweet. If not, what the hell ever. All right. April 6th, 2013 episode of Saturday Morning Slam. I believe I've only got maybe four or five episodes left after this, so I'm counting down the days. Now, show opens by announcing that the main advertised match will see Ryback versus Damian Sandow, which I'm dreading more than a 2015 Roman Reigns promo. You would think this would be the main event due to the names involved and the fact that this was announced saying it's going to happen today rather than up next, but it turns out this match opens the show. So opening match, Ryback versus Damian Sandow, who's got Cody Rhodes in his corner, and Brad Maddox is on commentary back during the period when Brad Maddox was the quote-unquote managing supervisor of Raw. So in other words, he was Vicky Guerrero's bitch. So Sandow, he tries to be smart by avoiding Ryback and being speedy and everything, but he gets caught and is left in a very delayed vertical suplex that may rival Bobby Lashley's iteration of the move back in 2018 when he came back. He's like, yep, vertical, yep, come on, give it me, people. Don't care. So Sandow, he's run off the ropes, he leaps at Ryback, gets caught, and is given what I could describe as like a shoulder switch power slam. He's like caught on the left side, he puts him on his right shoulder, and then power slams him. And then we're already going to commercial. That didn't last long. Back from the break, Ryback peels Sandow across the ring of one of the corners and even gets a falling splash from Brett's rope for a near fall. Sandow, he gets whipped into the corner and gets out of the way as Ryback hits goes shoulder first into the ring post, which gets the camera cut treatment. So once again, I can understand head and neck being censored, but I guess the arm and shoulder is too much. I don't know, you probably could have done it with a better camera angle to hide it instead of just missing it altogether. So then Sandow does a smart thing and he starts targeting the left arm and shoulder of Ryback to ground the big guy. Defensive strikes get missed because of the camera cut treatment. Sandow, he does that whole wind-up elbow drop to Ryback's shoulder, gets a near fall, which I have to still, I might have mentioned this before on the podcast. What is it with wrestlers always having to do some kind of theatric before an elbow drop? I mean, you get it with the Rock for the People's Elbow. You got MVP doing the whole ballin' thing. Sandow with the whole wind-up, like, before the elbow drop, I can't remember what he called it. LA Knight doing the whole LA Knight, yeah, elbow thing. So it's like, why does everybody need theatrics before dropping an elbow? I don't get it. So then Sandow goes on Brett's rope to dive it right back, gets caught and gets dropped into an inverted atomic drop, which you don't see the impact because, oh, can't touch the balls. Ryback gives him a standard atomic drop, and I guess you could describe as being given a body avalanche, like almost kind of like what Vader would do, just run up and like meat on meat there. I almost thought it was look like a left arm clothesline, but then again, you got to remember Ryback's supposed to be selling the fact that he got his arm worked on, which he doesn't. And then Cody slides in the ring to distract Ryback. Sandow and Rhodes go back and forth on who's distracting Ryback. Sandow tries to roll up Ryback, which doesn't work. Eats a meat hook clothesline, and then gets a shell shock. Ryback wins. So, again, I guess Ryback's left arm is all supernatural based on how this match went and his celebration.
Yay, my arm works. My arm works.
Gag. Now, next up, we get a montage of Mick Foley's time as the GM of Saturday Morning Slam up to this point, which isn't anything to write home about. No, he's running the show. He's having a good time. Big whoop. Then you get backstage to the locker room, and Cody and Sandow are both talking to Mick Foley. And Mick Foley decides, Cody Rhodes, you're going to have a match today. He's going to be facing Kane in the impromptu main event, and Sandow is barred from ringside. So, of course, well, that's not fair. Who's going to protect my mustache? So now, the impromptu main event. I swear, I've lost count of how many times we've seen some kind of iteration of Team Hell No versus the Rhodes Scholars, whether it be tag action or one-on-one. Up to this point, it's done enough. But the main event, Cody versus Kane. So, and this is something I've got to note here. I think some people were saying that usually if Kane is doing his pyro before the match, that means he's going to win because they're not going to waste pyro twice. But keep in mind that, because he does the pyro before the match. So Cody, he's trying to beat Kane with speed, but Kane's strength sees Cody get launched out of the ring after Cody applies a headlock, one of many done in this match. I swear, I feel like I was watching a Cactus Jack match during his heel run in ECW. Because it's just the main thing Cody keeps doing in the match. Headlock, headlock, headlock. So then, Cody gets back in the ring, And Kane lifts him up for military press. And he looks like he's going to throw Cody out of the ring onto the floor. The referee's like, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. Why not? It's not like he's going to get disqualified like you would see back in the Bill Watts era of WCW, where you get disqualified for throwing somebody over the top rope. So Kane's like, all right, and just dumps Cody in the ring so that kind of like that gorilla press slam instead, like that Ultimate Warrior would do. So then Cody, he brings Kane down with a dropkick to the knee and then applies another headlock. Golly. And then Brad Maddox, he's questioning this, and I have to thank him for this. He's questioning, why would Cody be going for the headlock again rather than constantly going after Kane's leg, which he just targeted a moment ago, to bring Kane down? Focus on the target. Because, I mean, your tag team partner Sandow, when he was going against Ryback earlier, he decided to go after the left arm, which was smart. But Cody, he doesn't want to capitalize or think. It's just headlock city, bitch. So Kane puts Cody on the top turnbuckle and shoves him down. Cody is caught left leg first around the top rope slash turnbuckle area. So he's stuck there for a moment before falling down outside. He's like, no, this is bullshit. Then they go to commercial. Back from the break. Cody gets whipped into the corner and trips Kane to cause Kane to smack headfirst into the top turnbuckle. Cody, once again, grabs a headlock on Kane, rebounds himself out of the corner, and kind of does like a side headlock takeover and keeps the headlock in. I guess somebody went through Cody, made a career wrestler, and couldn't think of what else to give him. It's just headlock over and over and over. So then Kane, he gets up, tosses Cody off the ropes, and then Kane tries to give Cody a back body drop, but Cody ducks down, uppercut, and then another headlock. Cody, please, for the love of God, do something else. You've got plenty of moves to do in the ring, but you think a headlock is the only answer. Like, golly. So Kane, he gets out of the headlock and eats a dropkick after bouncing off the ropes, and then takes yet another headlock. I swear, if Wrestling Biles was watching this episode, he'd be having a field day from this. And then thankfully, Kane gets out of this with a back suplex. It's either back suplex or a backdrop suplex or a side suplex. It's like, they all look the same, yet somehow there's some kind of a difference. Like, between a backdrop suplex, side suplex, belly back suplex. As far as I'm concerned, it's just a back suplex, okay? I don't give a shit. I'm not going to go into those technicalities. Then Kane, he's doing this comeback sequence. Diving clothesline off the top rope. Cody gets on the apron to avoid Kane and hotshots him, so throw first over the top rope. And he gets a disaster kick when he gets back in the ring, which gets both a near fall and the camera cut treatment. Then it finishes off with Cody going to the top rope. Dives off with a flying nothing. Eats a big boot in midair. And Kane gets the win. So it's another case where Kane, he can't do either the tombstone or the chokeslam to win the match. So instead, he's got to do a different move. Like, we saw this with his match that he had against Jinder Mahal a little while back, where it's just like diving clothesline off the top rope. Oh, he beats one of the members of 3MB. Whoopee. Finish out of nowhere. So yeah, I'm honestly not impressed by this. I mean, the Ryback match, I got a concussion just watching this match again. And the Kane-Cody match was just boring. There was absolutely no resemblance of any kind of, like, entertainment in this match. It was just Cody doing headlocks, and that's it. Okay? Like I said, I felt like I was watching a Cactus Jack heel match in ECW. Just, oh, we gotta make the match as boring as possible. You're not gonna appeal to your TVG-rated audience by doing something that boring and pointless. Over and over and over again. So yeah, thankfully I don't have many more episodes left, and I can move on from the series and go on to the next project. So anyway, let me know your thoughts in the comment section below. If you enjoyed today's episode, folks, please remember leave a like, subscribe to the bell, turn on if you're listening on YouTube, or follow if you're listening to this podcast on any other service that the podcast is available on. And I'll catch you all in the next one. Thanks for listening, folks. Like, comment, subscribe. Peace out and good day, everybody.